Genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is nightmares. Each of my guests will discuss a topic that some consider a nightmare, whether it's night terrors, Occupy Wall Street, or the road to economic collapse. My first guest is the executive director of the Dreams Foundation. He believes that dreams and nightmares are a good thing. We'll find out why as we discuss dreams and their waking life applications. My second guest is the founder and president of the Prometheus Institute, an organization to enhance political engagement for policies that advance freedom. We'll discuss activism, like we see in the Occupy Wall Street movement, and DIY democracy. My third guest is a conservative British journalist, an author, and a politician who is currently a member of the European Parliament. We'll discuss his dire warning to America in his latest book, The New Road to Serfdom. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. My first guest, Craig Webb, has been the executive director of the nonprofit Dreams Foundation for over 16 years. He's a McGill University graduate who's conducted pioneering dream and lucid dream research at Stanford University and Montreal's Sacré-Cœur Hospital. He's an author, a columnist, a hired invited expert for major motion pictures, Fortune 500 companies, universities, international TV networks, and magazines. His empowering trainings have helped CEOs, celebrities, doctors, professionals, all kinds of people, and make profound breakthroughs while having plenty of fun at the same time. Craig has also helped found or produce Making Contact, a progressive radio program airing weekly on over 150 stations worldwide, and he's been doing that for the last 16 years. He's appeared on numerous television networks, Discovery Channel, ABC, CBS, you know all of them, as well as newspapers like the New York Times, the London Times, USA Today, and so forth. Joining us from Montreal, hi Craig, how are you today?
Hey, doing great. Thanks for having me on, Bill.
Well, thank you for being our guest. Dreams are always a fascinating subject. In fact, dreams have sort of interested humans since the beginning of time. I mean, William Shakespeare wrote in his soliloquy in Hamlet, you know, to be or not to be, that is the question, whether it's nobler in the minds to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune or take arms against the sea of troubles and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep perchance to dream. So Hamlet was tortured by nightmares of his dead father. In the play, Hamlet remembers his dreams. It's a peculiar thing, though, Craig. I don't remember my dreams at night. I know that I have them. Everybody does. But it's very rare when I remember my dreams, let alone my nightmares. Why is that?
Well, the second case there, the nightmares might be one reason. I do receive a lot of students, clients, and people in general who had a number of nightmares early on that, you know, were really upsetting, disturbing their daytime energy because they didn't sleep so well, etc. And so they kind of plugged the hole, or they shut off the channel of dreams because, you know, there might be a baby with the bathwater, but the nightmares are disturbing the day, so they just close the whole window. So that sometimes happens. And the other reason, probably the more common one, is people just don't realize all the benefits and what's possible. So with our busy lives, we just don't spend much attention or time, and I guess like an unused muscle, it kind of gets a little smaller, but it's there the moment that we focus on it or try to use it.
Well, I'm glad you told me that you didn't tell me that my dreams were too boring or too insignificant. I'm glad for that. Break it down for us, Craig. What's the difference between a nightmare and a bad dream?
Usually just age.
age.
That sounds a little funny, but it's just lingo. Most adults or teens would say nightmares, and little kids say, no, I didn't have a nightmare, I just had a bad dream.
Okay.
So it probably depends on the person a little bit, maybe the level of anxiety, something like that. People usually use nightmare for a little stronger, but definitely different than night terrors. So it's good to differentiate the two. Night terrors are more physiological rather than sort of storyline.
Well, let's talk about night terrors, because that's one of the subjects that I wanted to bring up with you. I've got a 2-year-old grandson, and he comes over to visit our house, and he sleeps over. In the middle of the night, I can hear him talking in his sleep. He's saying things like, no, 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 and he's usually fidgeting, but then he eventually goes back to sleep. I call that behavior night frights. There's the actual term that you call it. It's night terrors or pavor nocturnus. What are the night terrors? Why do people get them, particularly children, Craig?
Yeah, actually they are more common in children. I don't think we know all the reasons. There's definitely some statistical trends, usually about age 2 to 6 is the most common age. Probably having to do with the development of the brain and the physiology and lots of growth hormones and things moving through the system. And also, you know, psychologically starting to explore this thing we call the ego or my identity and separating from other scary aspects of my psyche that I run away from, break away from. So that's usually a little more nightmares. We sort of start separating from parts of our vulnerable self because they cause too much emotional pain or sometimes even physical pain. But the night terrors are probably more physiologically based. And sometimes it's something as simple. This is actually an interesting solution for any of the parents listening because it's usually the parents who are more upset. But an interesting solution is something as simple as changing the temperature in the room. I've come across this, and I'm actually researching it to see if it's valid statistically, not just anecdotally. But the body temperature ends up being really important in the sleep cycle. And if the child's too warm, too many bed covers, maybe too many clothes, or maybe not the window open or something, or summer season, you can watch for seasonal. That's often a trigger, so something to watch for.
All right. Now, room temperature is a very interesting thought on that, because he kicks off his covers in this particular example. He runs hot, just like his mother did. But he virtually has nothing on by the time, you know, he's having these night terrors. What would be the ideal room temperature that you'd want to try to keep it at if you were trying to minimize these night terrors?
Well, probably just stable is good, and a little cooler. It doesn't really matter. Per child will be different, and I wouldn't say it's the only factor. There's a lot of things. For example, it may be, I don't know, I hope not, but it might be he's taking certain medications, which can do that too. No. There might be loud noises in the environment or something that can sort of jar his deep mind. So just to let people know, physiologically, it's actually in different stage of sleep that night terrors happen. So I'm not sure if your, I guess it's your grandson, your nephew.
Grandson.
Your grandson is having night terrors or nightmares. It might be a bridge sort of between the two. If they're more visual and he can kind of tell the storyline and remembers them in the morning or remembers if you wake it up, that's probably a nightmare. And we treat them differently. That's why I make the separation. If he doesn't remember anything or, you know, you do sort of try to wake him up and he has glassy eyes and kind of stares at you like sleepwalker, then it's probably a night terror. And then another treatment might be just kind of insert a little bit of wakefulness or kind of say hello, wake up, or give them a little nudge, maybe 5-10 minutes before they usually happen, because they're very scheduled. Night terrors are usually about 60 to 90 minutes after falling asleep, and if you interrupt a little bit before that, you knock off that kind of unhealthy sleep cycle where the night terrors happen. So another solution possible.
Well, my guest is Craig Webb. We're talking about bad dreams or nightmares. He is a dream expert. So, Craig, back to me if we can for just a minute. I don't recall my dreams. You say I probably suppressed that long, long ago. How can I improve my dream recall?
Well, actually, it sounds kind of funny, and it's not a flighty thing. It's actual sort of physiology and psychology. But just you asking the question and getting intrigued, I guess, speaking with me and exploring some of these ideas, just thinking about them will start. Really, it's a mental muscle we're talking about, dream recall. And so subtle things like ideas, beliefs, the level of interest or enthusiasm can affect it. So you get interested, and the big payoff long-term to really open your dream channel and also really help your life would be to find some practical benefits, because maybe as a passing interest for a couple of days, you go, okay, I had some fun stories, or probably if you haven't listened to them for a while, you'll have some nightmares come first. There's a bit of backlog on the emotional stuff that hasn't been listened to. But pretty soon after that, in moments like the students in my teleclasses who first week or two have usually nightmares, the moment they listen to it, act on it, shift something, basically get the message, the warning light on our car, the oil light beeping, that's a nightmare. If we listen and we, you know, get a little tune-up in the engine or change the oil or whatever the nightmare is requesting, then the engine runs smooth and lots of great benefits and applications come. We can talk about a few of those if you like.
Well, let's do, because it's a curiosity for me, Craig, but we have to get beyond the curiosity or else it won't hold my interest forever. So give me some idea of some, you know, waking life applications that dreams and nightmares might have for me.
Well, first thing you might see as a radio host, so getting a little personal here, I often see this one, so I mention it, you kind of have the late for an exam dream or unprepared, or the radio hosts usually have dead air. Uh-oh, I'm not prepared. I don't have my my contact sheets, or there's dead air on the mic. So simple work stress dreams might come first. And just resolving that level of, I guess, stress, pretty basic stress, will actually give deeper, richer, more peaceful sleep. So basically a little more sleep is a good first application. Not a bad thing, by the way, which increases our energy during the day. And then a few other techniques that I coach people in to kind of sleep wiser. A certain mental clearing before sleep, different diet habits, time of night habits, and even sometimes little awakenings to kind of distribute your sleep on separate cycles, or different things to kind of get your sleep balanced. And then if you want to, start harvesting some of the content. For example, you might have work stress dreams, or many of the listeners might, if they don't clear their mind before sleep. But the moment you kind of put a problem consciously in your mind and choose it and kind of even make sort of a request of your subconscious, hey, I'd love to get more insight about, for example, Larry Page, who used it about his degree at Stanford. I don't know if people know Larry Page, one of the two founders of Google.
Yes.
He was really trying to get insights for where he could take, I guess, his degree and also his future business. And he wanted to work with, I guess, internet. He went to sleep and had a very powerful dream where he saw how if he downloaded the entire internet and used, I guess, the idea of who everybody was linking to as a good way to measure whether a search would be valid or more interesting to readers, that would be an idea for a whole new search engine. From that idea, from that simple dream, came the entire business of Google. I mean, a lot of people have done a lot of work since, but the seed came as a key insight. You know, 400 billion dollars later, I think, market cap. Not a bad dream.
No, not a bad dream at all. My guest is Craig Webb. Now, Craig, did you work with Larry Page, or is that an anecdotal story that you know to be true?
If people want to research that one, it's online in the speech. He gave it his alma mater. I forget which university, but he gave it during a speech, and he told the story of how he came up with Google. But it's not unique. I'm giving examples here. Monster.com, the biggest job site on the internet. That idea came to Jeff Taylor, complete with logo. A little monster that you see if you ever go. That came to him in a dream when he scribbled it waking up. And lots of others. We kind of shift into creativity. I don't know if this would sort of help you a little bit, but maybe ideas for guests or ways to do your show to really make it that much more zesty or interesting for a certain topic. For example, Paul McCartney dreamt his two greatest hits, Yesterday and Let It Be. And many musicians, artists, and I guess Ventura County's James Cameron, who I had the great honor and pleasure of speaking with and asking about his dreams and meeting a few times. Dreamt the key idea for Terminator, his first breakthrough film, and also two key elements for Avatar, which I think is the biggest selling movie of all time. So
wow. That
practical
is
dreaming, you know?
Practical dreaming. My guest is Craig Webb. We're talking about bad dreams or nightmares and how they can be beneficial for you. Craig, you've made a lifetime studying all of this. Give us an idea of the science behind the study of dreams, if you will, please.
Yeah, well, that kind of goes into my story a little bit, so I'll take a moment and just mention. I started out as kind of a physicist and a scientist, very objective, and then I had quite a powerful opening after a near drowning where I started remembering lots of dreams and having lucid dreams.
Wow.
You know, experiences that were really unusual to me. But I didn't want to throw out my science training. It was many years, and also I think logically. But I had all this new data and lots of subjective experience that didn't quite fit my world model. So I guess without real much choice, it was more like a kidnapping. I kind of expanded my view to include the science and now what I call subjective science. So sometimes it's statistics, looking at, you know, it's common nightmares. For example, probably 81.5% or about 4 out of 5 of the listeners have had a chase dream or a pursuit nightmare, usually a nightmare.
Mm.
So that's known across cultures across the world. A very important life lesson, too, not just a random nightmare, but tied in with a very practical lesson that we all need to learn in life. Same as the flying and falling dream. Do you ever remember ever having a falling dream?
I have never had it, but my wife suffers from that.
Oh, okay. So maybe we'll get her an upgrade and get her to lift off. All aboard for a flight dream, because falling is kind of like flying, except that we're stuck in fear. So the universal lesson of fear and trust. If she's listening, she can start to contemplate. And there's a great article about it at dreams.ca on the Dreams Foundation website, www.dreams.ca, that says, "Nightmares? Lucky you." And people say, "What? I don't want nightmares." And they say, that's okay. We don't want you to have them either. But don't just put a Band-Aid on the oil light. Listen to the message and then move on and get the lesson. And they'll end right away, but at least you won't sort of recur or have worse versions of it in your waking life.
My guest is Craig Webb. He is the founder and the CEO of the Dream Foundation. And, Craig, if you had just one lesson that you could leave with my listeners about dreams, what would that one thought or that one lesson be?
Oh, nice question. I like that one. Well, simply just kind of court dreams or invite them and relate to them as a friend, because really it is kind of a deeper part of you that's always there every day, right? And then a little hint to kind of inspire people. Anybody who's ever had benefits in their life from using intuition or gut decisions or hunches and following those to make smart life choices, that's actually the same mental muscle as just recalling and starting to look at our dreams. Kind of an inner type of information, and that's the same as the dream channel. So even just looking and remembering and writing down our dreams boosts our intuition, our hunches, our gut feelings, and there's lots more info on the website about that, and I lead teleclasses where people who want to go deeper can learn more, too.
Well, my guest is Craig Webb, and Craig, since you mentioned the website, if people are interested and they want to learn more about you, learn more about dreams and nightmares, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Oh, well, dreams.ca, that's .ca, like California there, but it's actually based out of Canada, is the main Dreams Foundation website, and if they're more interested, the teleclasses are on there, too, if you want to investigate how to go a little bit deeper into interpretation, and also there's a free podcast about lucid dreaming or kind of like live dreaming reality, sort of a virtual reality to use your dreams in a very, very positive way. There's a video and a podcast if you join the newsletter. And then if people want to hear a new dream-inspired song, they can actually visit edutainer.ca. I just finished a song all about lucid dreaming.
Oh, that is great. Craig, it has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Oh, definitely a pleasure. Thanks again.